In jolly old England, Robin Hood stole from the rich to give to the poor. In modern-day America, greedy government goons steal from the innocent to give to the corrupt by way of a scheme called civil asset forfeiture. In fact, according to the Washington Post, in 1 year alone, the police actually stole more from Americans than burglars did. This is how the American police state continues to get rich, by stealing from the citizenry. Here's how the whole ugly business works in a nutshell. First, government agents, usually the police, use a broad array of tactics to profile, identify, and target in a traffic stop, on a train, in an airport, in public places, or on private property, those citizens who might be traveling with a significant amount of cash or possess property of value. Second, these government agents, empowered by the courts and the legislatures, seize private properties. It can be cash, jewelry, cars, homes, and other valuables they merely suspect may be connected to criminal activity. Then, and here's the kicker, whether or not any crime is actually proven to have taken place without any charges being levied against the property owner, the citizen, the property is handed over to the government, which often divides it up with the local police who helped with the initial seizure. What does all this mean? It means that Americans no longer have to be guilty, to be stripped of their property, their rights, and their liberties. All you have to be is in possession of something the government wants. Motorists, by and large, have been vulnerable to this modern-day form of highway robbery. For example, police stole $201,000 in cash from Lisa Leonard because the money, which Leonard planned to use to buy a house for her son, was being transported on a public highway allegedly used by drug traffickers. Despite the fact that Leonard was innocent of any wrongdoing, the U.S. Supreme Court upheld the theft. Police stole $8,500 in cash and jewelry from Roderick Daniels, which he planned to use to purchase a new car, and threatened him with jail and money laundering charges if he didn't sign a waiver giving his property to them. Then police stole $6,000 in cash from Jennifer Boatwright and Ron Henderson and threatened to turn their young children over to Child Protective Services if they resisted. Unsurprisingly, these asset forfeiture scams have become so profitable for the government that they have expanded their reach beyond the nation's highways. According to USA Today, the U.S. Department of Justice received some $2 billion, believe it or not, in forfeited items in 2013. Since 2008, local and state law enforcement agencies nationwide have raked in some $3 billion in forfeitures through so-called federal equitable sharing programs. However, it's not just the drivers who have to worry about getting the shakedown. Any American unwise enough to travel with significant amounts of cash is fair game for the government pickpockets. Incredibly, the Drug Enforcement Administration, or the DEA, has been colluding with the TSA and local police departments to seize a small fortune in cash from American travelers, using the very tools, scanners, spies, and surveillance devices they claimed and they told us were necessary to protect us from terrorists. Mind you, TSA agents already have a reputation for stealing from travelers, but clearly the government is not concerned about protecting American citizens from its own wolfish tendencies. No, the government isn't looking to catch criminals. It's just out for your cold, hard cash. As USA Today reports, although DEA agents have seized more than $203 million in cash in airports alone since 2006, they almost never make arrests in connection with the seized cash. For example, DEA agents at the Cincinnati Northern Kentucky International Airport stole $11,000 in cash from college student Charles Clark, his entire life savings, in fact, simply because they claimed his checked suitcase smelled like marijuana. No drugs or evidence of criminal activity were found. How does the government know which travelers to target? Through surveillance of Americans' domestic travel records, by profiling train and airport passengers, and by relying on government informants, including, believe it or not, ticket agents. In one instance, the DEA actually promised to give a TSA security screener a reward for identifying luggage with large sums of cash. The more cash found, the bigger the reward. Starting to notice a pattern? First, the government claims it needs more powers and more weapons in order to fight crime and so-called terrorism. What powers am I talking about? The power to spy on Americans' communications and travel. the power to carry out virtual and actual strip searches of Americans' luggage, persons, and property. The power to stop and interrogate travelers, you folks, citizens, for any reason in the name of so-called national security. Then, when government agents have been given enough powers and weapons to transform them into mini tyrants, they're unleashed on unsuspecting American citizens who do not have the resources to be able to defend themselves or protecting their property. I'm a lawyer, folks. I know this. Just going to court to protect your property can cost thousands of dollars. So much for those long-cherished ideals about the assumption of innocence and a fair hearing in a court of law. Despite the fact that 80% of these asset forfeiture cases result in no charge against the property owner, challenging these takings in court, like I said, can cost the owner more than the value of the confiscated property itself. As a result, most property owners either give up the fight or chalk up the loss of their property to government corruption. This leaves the police and other government officials to reap the benefits. This is what has become known as policing for profit. But here's the kicker. According to USA Today, evidence suggests that allowing departments to keep forfeiture proceeds may tempt them to use the funds unwisely. For example, in a 2015 scandal in Michigan, police officers actually used funds forfeited from illegal drug and prostitution stings to pay for illegal drugs and prostitutes. Police agencies have also used their ill-gotten gains to buy guns, armored cars, and electronic surveillance gear, reports the Washington Post. They have also spent money on luxury vehicles, travel, and a clown named Sparkles, an actual case. Folks, this is insulting to we the people. So what's to be done? As I make clear in my book, Battlefield America, the War on American People, we're now ruled by a government so consumed with squeezing every last penny out of the population, out of us, the citizens, as to be completely unconcerned if essential freedoms are being destroyed. At every turn, we the people are getting swindled, cheated, conned, robbed, raided, mugged, deceived, defrauded, double-crossed, and fleeced by governmental and corporate shareholders of the American police state out to make a profit at taxpayer expense. Unfortunately, Attorney General Jeff Sessions has declared his love for civil asset forfeiture. The Supreme Court keeps marching in lockstep with the police state, and police unions don't want their gravy train to go away. So there's not much hope for federal reform anytime soon. As always, change will have to begin locally and move upwards. Some state legislatures are beginning to push back against these clearly unconstitutional asset forfeiture schemes. In fact, New Mexico now requires a criminal conviction before law enforcement can seize your property, while police in Florida must prove beyond a reasonable doubt that property is linked to a crime before it's seized. More than legislative change, however, what we need is a change of mindset on the part of the American people. We need to stop acting like victims and start acting like citizens with rights. Remember, to those who founded this country, it was life, liberty, and property that the government was charged with protecting. To the colonists, following the colonial uprising against the British, protecting their property from governmental abuse was just as critical as preserving their lives and liberties. As the colonists understood, if the government can arbitrarily take away your property, you have no true rights. You're nothing more than a serf or a slave. Little could our forefathers have imagined that it would have taken less than 3 centuries of so-called independence to once again render us browbeaten slaves in bondage to a tyrant bent on depriving us of our most basic and fundamental rights. Yet, if the government can arbitrarily freeze, seize, or lay claim to your property, money, land, or possessions, under government asset forfeiture schemes, you have no true rights. Folks, enough is enough.